RTE Pulse.
The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
So at the moment, we are in the middle of one of Ireland's largest LGBT Pride festivals at the moment. It is Belfast Pride, and it is running until the 2nd of August. All information can be found on belfastpride.com in terms of the events that are taking place at the moment. The festival motto, or the theme at the moment, is diverse, equal and proud. And to tell me a lot more about it, I have Sean O'Neill, the chair of Belfast Pride, on the phone from Belfast at the moment. Sean, you're very welcome along.
Scott, thank you.
So for those who don't know much about the festival yet or haven't had the chance to check it out online, what is the festival all about?
Belfast Pride is really the LGBTQ citizens of Belfast demanding the same rights as everyone else, demanding full equality. And in the tradition of Pride, we have a party and a protest, all merged into one big celebration across 10 days, culminating in the festival parade on Saturday the 2nd.
Mm. And I guess, you know, you're saying the diverse, equal and proud. Obviously, this is a very, very strong message that is being shown across the city at the moment. There's a great level of visibility, though, that I've noticed just a few days ago when I was in Belfast myself. There, you know, you can see the flags about. You can see whether it's the Pride flags or the Belfast Pride logo that's dotted around the city. You know, there seems to be a great visibility to it this year.
That's been one of our aims. We want to make sure that the festival is visible, that LGBT citizens in Belfast are visible, and we're doing that in various ways. We have a billboard campaign across the city at all major entrances to the city. We have our own Pride flags, which businesses seem to be snapping up at the minute, so they're popping up all around the city. Lots of restaurants have special Pride menus and Pride offers, and we have been overwhelmed. We have the biggest guide we've ever had. And lots of various venues and organisations want to be part of Pride and want to celebrate with us. So we're more than happy about that. And we started the festival off in Belfast City Hall with our biggest ever launch and the Belfast Pride Awards. And that's the first time that's been in Belfast City Hall. So our aim has been to put Belfast Pride at the centre of the city. And we started that with City Hall, and we're keeping that up.
Well, no better place to have the festival at the centre of the city other than Belfast City Hall at the very centre. Tell us about the Belfast Pride Awards that also took place there as well at Belfast City Hall. There are various different prizes that were very, very close to the LGBT community in Belfast, you know, not least of which the PA McLaughlin Award.
Well, what we try and do with the awards is to celebrate the best of the contribution to LGBT life in Belfast from our own community, from people that we deal with, from the business community and politicians. So we're trying to highlight some of the work that's done in the community and to highlight some of the really positive engagement there is from businesses, from our commercial supporters, community supporters, and also from politicians as well. The PA McLaughlin Award is really aimed to highlight one particular landmark achievement or a history of achievement, and it's named after one of the founders of Belfast Pride, PA McLaughlin, who was one of the brave few who started the festival out in 1991. PA always said that it was a dander, with people hurrying through on the first march looking over their shoulders in a generally unwelcoming city. And that couldn't be more different for the second year. The festival this year will be led by the mayor, and will be set off by the mayor. So PA and people like him are the unsung heroes, who, you know, knocked doors that were closed in their faces, and stood there arguing with people. And these are the people that have made it possible for us to just get on with our lives today. So we wanted to honour someone like PA by awarding and naming an award after him.
Well, it was a very, very touching tribute, no doubt. And, you know, obviously it wasn't just the PA McLaughlin Award that was part of the Pride Award ceremony. There was also, for example, the political contribution to the LGBT community for the former mayor of Belfast, Martina Willor. And, you know, one of the things that I noticed myself, especially over the last year while he was Lord Mayor of Belfast, was that, you know, even on something as small as his Twitter profile, on the cover picture was a photo of himself speaking at last year's Belfast Pride. So obviously that's one person who was a very strong ally to the LGBT community in Belfast.
Absolutely. The PA McLaughlin Award, for example, went to Colin Flynn, who has done lots of quiet long-term work in the community. Alongside that, we have more visible work from people like the ex-mayor Martin O'Muller, who basically just embraced Pride completely, and he did what no other mayor had actually done before. He started the parade. He invited not just Pride but all the other LGBT community groups into the City Hall. And he offered us lots of practical support along the way as well, trying to encourage bids for funding, as well as just making connections between people in the community. So he couldn't have been more positive with his contribution to equality. So we also wanted to mark that through the political award.
It was a fantastic achievement, and obviously one that he was delighted with. Of course, there were many other awards given out on the night as well, and for more you can check out the Facebook page for Belfast Pride. Sean, let's move on to something else though, that I guess there's always a political element to every single Pride festival, whether it's in Ireland, North or South, or over in Britain or anywhere else in the world. With Northern Ireland, it's always that bit slightly different, and especially at the moment because Northern Ireland is the last part of the UK that doesn't yet have marriage equality. How strong of a political aspect or a rights aspect is there to this festival?
It's a very important part of the festival, and it has moved back into the centre of it in the last few years. There have obviously been lots of negative messages from some politicians on equality and on the community in general, and that has actually boosted Pride. It has created a movement that has pushed equality back into the centre. With the referendum in the south next year, it looks like the north will be the only part in this corner of Europe without any type of equality or without any prospect of it in the next few years. Three votes have been defeated in the Assembly, and knocks like that, the continuing blood ban, just bring more people towards Pride and just make Pride grow. So it's actually enhancing the community and giving voice to the community again.
Well, Sean, I'm kind of glad you said that, because that was one of the things that I noticed myself personally only a few days ago. I spent the weekend in Belfast, and you know, one of the things that I noticed myself was that there seemed to be a very, very strong community atmosphere, you know, not just with the LGBT community, but also the city in general, that it seemed that the city seemed to embrace the festival fully. You know, there were restaurants that I noticed with the Pride flags, you know, being donned outside on the windows. There were, you know, various different bars that I'd seen that I wouldn't have originally associated as being a gay bar or maybe even gay friendly, but there was the Pride flag, you know, flying outside or even around the bar. It really seems like the community has just completely embraced it this year.
As I said, it's been a movement over the last few years because, as I said, there have been three defeated votes on marriage equality in the Assembly so far.
Do you think that it's a case that the community are now standing with you as saying, well, we support you, whatever about what Stormont thinks?
Well, Pride Act is a focus for the community, and we try to use Pride to focus attention on issues like equality and as well as focusing on things that go on in the community to try and showcase the community. So we try to use the focus, and we try to use the leverage and the pull that Pride has for positive benefit to the whole community. So we work with a whole range of partners across business, community, and we reach out to businesses and convince them that they need to be on our side, and it does seem to work. Lots of businesses tell us they know we're right, they want the situation to change, but it's really down to one particular mechanism in the Assembly that seems to block everything.
Right. Well, I guess it remains to be seen what happens over the next while. But either way, you know, politics aside and, you know, the activism side, there is always going to be a fun element to Belfast Pride, and that's there's absolutely no doubt that that's going to take place this year. The official festival guide is the biggest ever, I believe, with 84 pages of events with arts, cinema, health and well-being, family events, and much, much more. The full guide, if you're not able to pick one up in print, it is available on belfastpride.com. Sean, for yourself though, any particular highlights that you're looking forward to?
There are quite a few. quite a few across a range. There's so many different areas and so many different groups involved. I ran between three different events tonight, just to get a look and see how they're going. So, I mean, for example, there was a talk on the role of Christian activism in Uganda.
Wow.
Then on to an event about labels, people telling stories about labels applied to them. And then a look in at an alternative rock gig led by some LGBT musicians. So there's so many different things going on, and I think one of the highlights is seeing how much there is and seeing people have to juggle between the different things, the different range of events. So it's good to see it all come together.
Yeah.
And it's good to have so many community and business partners on board and everyone, you know, throwing themselves into the events and really wanting to enjoy the whole festival.
Yeah, well, as you say yourself, you know, the motto for this year, the theme for this year is diverse, equal, proud. No doubt it absolutely shows the diversity, not just of the LGBT community, but also as the city as a whole. The big day, of course, is taking place on Saturday. Tell us a bit more about this.
Okay, we had the biggest parade in history last year, and we hope to top that. We're not sure about the weather, but the spirit will definitely be there anyway, but we can never guarantee the weather, so
true.
So what odds? We've outgrown our main site, so this year we have four different sites across the city centre with different types of events, a few street parties on top of that as well. And we're basically aiming to animate the whole city and bring the Pride Rainbow down new streets into new areas and to have more of the city involved. Everyone's welcome, as always. And I think there'll be an awful lot of rainbow flags and pride flags around.
Absolutely. I don't think you'd be able to miss them at all on the big day. Of course, Sean, if anyone wants to find any more information, they can check out belfastpride.com. But in the meantime, Sean O'Neill, the chair of Belfast Pride, thank you very, very much for coming onto the show.
RTE Pulse. The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
Now, from tomorrow, that is July 31st, until August 4th, the Gays International LGBT Film Festival in Dublin is putting on a wide range of fascinating and very entertaining film productions for the LGBT community and the wider Dublin and Irish community as well. Irish and international film productions are going to be examining a wide range of LGBT life, politics, history, love, family, and much, much more. To tell me a lot more about the festival and the various film productions that are going to be featured, I have Emma Connors on the phone, the festival programmer for the Gays Film Festival. Emma, you're very welcome along.
Thank you very much.
So the festival is well and truly part of the Dublin events calendar by this stage, and beautifully so. But for those who might not have had an opportunity to go along to the festival yet, tell us a bit about it first.
Yeah, well, this is the 22nd year of the festival, and it started 22 years ago, the same year that homosexuality was decriminalised in Ireland. And it started as a tiny little festival. There had been a London LGBT film festival that was knocking around for a couple of years, and there was a request that some of those films would be brought to Dublin 22 years ago, and they were. And kind of from that, then the festival has grown and grown. And about 7 years ago, they changed the name to Gaze, G-A-Z-E, and that name has kind of stuck ever since. So here we are now, 22 years later.
It's fantastic to think that it really has been around for so long, and especially that it started off at such a momentous occasion as well in Irish LGBT history. But let's talk about this year, obviously one of the most diverse festival programmes that we've seen in quite some time as well. Year on year, you keep on getting better. Tell us a bit more about the films that are featured this year.
Yeah, well, this is my first year actually programming the festival. I mean, I've been involved in the festival scene for donkey's years for the first time with an LGBT film festival. So the past 6 months for me has been about, you know, sitting up in bed all morning, noon and night, watching hundreds of different films, whether they're Irish films or documentaries or experimental or the best on the festival circuit or whatever. And kind of from that, over the past couple of months, I suppose there's been a crop of, you know, 34 kind of stellar films that have crept through, and they're the ones that are kind of filling the pages of the big bright pink programme that people can see all over the place. So it's been a pleasure kind of programming it, and I think when you kind of flick through it now, and you see the mix of stuff that is there, from, you know, little gems that you find that aren't necessarily being, you know, programmed in festivals all around the world, to the big hitters like 52 Tuesdays and Bruce LaBruce's Durant and Philia, which is obviously getting an awful lot of attention. So there's a really kind of a beautiful mix of stuff in there. So, yeah, I would kind of advise people to take the time and have a flick through and perhaps even try something new they wouldn't necessarily normally kind of pick.
Well, obviously, it's not a bad job to have at all to be looking through all these films. And obviously, there's a fair amount of quality as well that you've come across. What have been the highlights for you?
Well, I suppose the two of my favourite ones are the ones we're kind of opening and closing with. I remember when I first started the job, I asked, you know, our board of management to say, well, what any advice for me? And they said, well, bring the best international films over. And I said, and take your time and try and find a little gem. And that little gem for me is our opening film called The Circle, Der Kreis, which is based on the Swiss network and organisation, a Swiss magazine and organisation called Der Kreis. And it's essentially kind of a documentary and a feature film kind of woven together. That tells the story of these two men, Ernst and Robbie. One is a teacher, and the other is a very famous drag queen artist. And they kind of fall in love, and the documentary kind of tracks their love affair over the past 40 years. And the men feature in the documentary now, and then obviously it's kind of got that feature film effect to it too. So I absolutely love it, and it's a beautiful one to kind of open the festival with. And it's sold out, which is brilliant. So there's obviously a lot of interest in people wanting to see it. And then my other favourite film this year is probably 52 Tuesdays, which I'm sure lots of listeners have heard about. It's sweeping the boards, winning all the awards, and it is from Sophie Hyde's, Australian filmmaker, and all the actors are all amateur, first time on a feature film, and she shot the film every Tuesday for 52 weeks for the year, and it marks this young girl called Billy, 16-year-old girl Billy, whose mother is transitioning from female to male, and around the kind of the family dynamics and how do you adjust to being a new kind of transgender family. It's a terrific film. I saw it back in Berlin in February and absolutely loved it, and it was a hard fight to try and get it over to Dublin for gays, but we did, and I'm thrilled that was the one that's going to be closing this year.
Well, I can imagine that that's a proud moment in that case that you were able to bring it over to Dublin. What about the Irish productions? Because obviously there's a few Irish films and documentaries that are part of the festival programme as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a massive part of what Gays is meant to be about, kind of giving a platform for either established Irish filmmakers or kind of up-and-coming or student filmmakers. Every year, for the past couple of years, we've always had our Irish Shorts programme, which is always really well received. And we've had more kind of submissions than in previous years. So I suppose people are now seeing Gays as the destination where they can, you know, submit their work and have that platform. But one of the days we are kind of marking as, you know, the Best of Irish, where we are going to be screening a short little preview of a new documentary about Panty, Rory O'Neill, called The Queen of Ireland. But the main feature documentary that is on that day is Laura Fletcher, RTE journalist and filmmaker, and her documentary is called African Pride, and it's basically about her travelling over to Africa and over a 2 or 3 year period, telling the stories and sharing the life of LGBT people in South Africa. That film actually premiered down in Galway Film Flag a few weeks ago, and it won the Best Human Rights Documentary down there, so we're delighted that it's making its Dublin premiere here. So we've kind of carved a whole event around that. So Conor Horgan, the director of Panty's documentary, which will be, you know, premiered in 2 years' time. So it's great to have him here talking about, you know, making a new Irish feature-length documentary and giving Gays audiences a chance to see a little insider snippet of that work in progress. But then at the same time, then having a full feature-length Irish-made with an Irish director in African Pride. So that's going to be a terrific day, and there's a panel discussions and stuff all around that. So it's great to kind of showcase, you know, where Irish filmmaking has kind of come over the past couple of years, and there's not just short films that are being made, but in fact feature-length stuff.
It sounds fantastic. Anyway, it's obviously something for people to keep an eye out. Obviously, Emma, all the information is available on the website, which is gaze.ie. That's gaze.ie. I presume tickets are available on the website as well.
Yeah, basically when you go into our Gays website, you can click in, and that kind of directs people to the main Lighthouse website, where tickets can be bought there, or people can pop in there and get them in person, or there's a phone line in the Lighthouse that people can book through.
All right, that is fantastic. Well, listen, for more information, you can check out the Gays International LGBT Film Festival website. That is gaze.ie. In the meantime, Emma Connors, Festival Director of the Gays Film Festival, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Online, on DAB, on Serviu, and on UPC, channel 943. This is
RTE Pulse. RTE Pulse.
The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.